Reading from God's Word today finishes up the letter of Jude, beginning at verse 17. But dear friends, literally beloved, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, again, literally beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Now mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance through faith in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we pick up where we left off last week. We pick up here at verse 17. And Jude kind of wraps up the whole first section of the letter where he has been warning against false teachers. He says, but you, dear friends, and again, literally, it's the Greek is beloved. The NIV falls, I think, a little flat here. In verse 3, in verse 17, in verse 20, three times Jude addresses his audience with that wonderful word, beloved. Not simply communicating his own tender affection for his hearers, his readers, but reminding them, reminding us here today who read these words, that we are beloved by God our Father. Right at the very beginning of this letter, we read he is writing to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Beloved, beloved, beloved. That's you. And Jude would have us remember this every moment of every day. That is our identity. We are beloved by God our Father. We know this because he gave us his one and only Son into death on the cross. He has given us his Spirit to abide in our hearts. We are the beloved of God. But you, beloved, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. That is what Jude has been talking about up to this point. He's been warning them of those false teachers that have taken the grace of God and used it as a license to do whatever they wanted to do, regardless of what God's will, his ways, his commands. And the apostles are full of such warnings. We've worked through letters from Paul and John, and we know that they consistently warn us of threats from within and from without the church, of those who would seek to draw us away from the sound teaching of Christ Jesus. Verse 20, Jude shifts his attention and gives us some very concrete things to be doing and practicing and aware of. Verse 20, but you again, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. If you look at those two verses, you see basically four verbs there. Four verbs, right? Build yourselves up, pray, keep yourselves in God's love, wait. In the Greek, there's one main verb that's in the imperative. It's a command. One main verb, it's a command, and that is keep yourselves in God's love. That's the main command. The other three in Greek are participles. That means they support that main verb. Basically, his main concern is that you keep yourselves in God's love, and then you could ask the question, how? And then how you keep yourselves in God's love, you do that by doing those other three things. Okay? So Jude's main concern, main command, keep yourselves in God's love. And we'll talk about how in a second. But he is deeply concerned that we remain in that love of God. We are beloved. We have a loving relationship with God our Father because of Jesus. And Jude wants us to stay in that relationship. I was gone last week. Pastor John preached on that first half. I listened to his sermon through the recording. And I know he talked a lot about complacency. Right here, in this verse, these two verses, Jude is absolutely fighting against complacency. He is calling us to an active experience of the love of God. He is calling us to actively maintain this relationship. Not simply to shrug our shoulders and go with the idea that, like the false teachers, God loves me, so okay, fine, I'll go about my merry way and do what I feel. He is calling us to actively pursue this relationship with God, to not grow complacent, to not grow indifferent to God. Keep yourselves in God's love. The idea there is that it's possible to fall out of that relationship with God. It is possible to wander away from God and His love. It is possible to grow cold and callous and hardened and indifferent to God. So Jude pleads with us to actively engage, to wake up, to keep ourselves in God's love. I'm reminded of two of those letters to the churches in that book of Revelation. The letter to the church in Laodicea, who was warned about being lukewarm, tepid, blah, indifference. I'm reminded of the letter to the church in Ephesus, who is still very much concerned about right living and right practice, but had forgotten their first love, their deep affection for the God who saved them. Jude would have us to wake up and not just be cool and indifferent, to not just come here and go through the motions and then go on our merry way and do whatever we want. But he would have us pursue the love of God that we have in Christ. Keep yourselves in God's love. How do we do that? Three things, right? Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Wait for the mercy of Jesus Christ to lead us into everlasting life, right? So, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Here, the word faith is most likely not our experience of trust in God, but the content of our faith, the stuff we believe in, the faith once for all entrusted to the saints, the word of the prophets, the evangelists, and the apostles that have been given to us. Build yourselves up better, build yourselves on. This is seen here, he's giving us an image of building, and the faith, the Word of God, basically, the Gospel, is our foundation that we are to build upon. We keep ourselves in God's love by building on the faith passed on to us from generation to generation, taught to us by parents and friends and other church people and pastors alike. We keep ourselves in God's love by building on this solid foundation of God's truth. Build yourselves up in or on this most holy faith. That is an essential component to keeping ourselves in God's love. Because what happens when you read this? What happens when you read God's story from Genesis to Revelation? You discover who God is, right? You discover how patient he is, how kind he is, how faithful he is. Yes, how just he is, but also how merciful he is in not treating us as our sins deserve. You see how God has consistently, over time, intervened in the lives of people who wanted nothing to do with him and wandered away from him. And as you read that story and you see yourself in that story, you remain in that love of God because you are humbled and awed and moved by this God who has loved you from before the dawn of time. So build yourselves up on this faith that has been given to you. And pray in the Holy Spirit. What's in mind here? I don't think it's a narrow view of praying in the Spirit, like simply the ecstatic utterance of tongues. I think it's broader than that. If you look at a parallel description in Ephesians where Paul says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and petitions. This is talking about the continual communion with God in prayer. People who have the Spirit of God, the Spirit that moves us to pray, as Paul teaches us, Abba, Father. We are moved to continually pray to God in that Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love. How? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Right? This is a spirit of humility, of deep dependency on God, a spirit of desperation, a spirit of hunger, a spirit of yearning and groaning and longing. We keep ourselves in God's love. We recognize how easy it is to start to slide away. How many of us have experienced where you wake up in the morning and immediately you're caught up with the things that you have to do today? Some of them good, some of them difficult, some of them annoying, some of them hard. And you go about your kind of routine and you go through things, and then all of a sudden you wake up kind of a few hours later and you go, oh yeah, God. Right? How much time sometimes passes between those remembrances of the God who loves you and who is with you? And how many times do our prayers grow cold? And how many times does our affection for God wilt and wither? Whether it's by the pressures of life or the pleasures of life. How many times have you been so satisfied with the things of life that you're no longer hungry for God? How often are you so contented with the things that you have achieved and the compliments of others that you no longer seek the affection and the approval of God? How often are you pressed and squeezed by the things of the world that you're so miserable and distracted that you grow indifferent to God? Keep yourselves in God's love. Pray in the Spirit. When we are reminded of how easy it is to grow callous and cold, how easy it is to start wandering away, it should definitely move us to prayer. And a desperate hunger for God, and a desperate pleading with God. Oh God, please be merciful to me. You have brought me this far. Help me not to wander away from you. Please revive my cold hearts. Warm my heart again for you. You are a God who loves me. Help me, O God, to love you in return. Help me to be faithful to you. Help me to stay and remain in your love. Pray in the Spirit. And then, wait. Wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. The life of the Christian is always looking ahead in hope. Always eagerly expecting what is to come. Because once again, we know the end of the story, right? And it goes well. Jesus wins. We win. Death is swallowed up in victory. Sin is no more. Sorrow, tears are wiped away. Disease is vanquished. Conflict and warfare are done. Jesus wins. The church is always looking ahead, waiting eagerly, expecting Jesus. Jesus to come, not in judgment for his people, because there's no condemnation left for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? He has swallowed all of that up in the cross by himself. Jesus comes in mercy for those who are his, treating us not as our sins deserve, but welcoming us into paradise, the new heavens and the new earth. So the church is always looking ahead. How do we keep ourselves in God's love? By not getting bogged down in the difficulties of the moment, the pain of the moment, even the joys of this moment, but looking ahead to the glories that will blow everything away that we're experiencing right now, be it good, bad, or indifference. We look ahead, waiting eagerly for the merciful return of Jesus to bring us into eternal life. Keep yourselves in God's love. Build on your most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit and wait eagerly for the mercy of Jesus Christ to bring you to everlasting life. Jude doesn't stop there. Last week I got to fly again, and you know the drill, right? The little speech with the mask. The mask drops down. Parents, what do? You put the mask on yourself first, right? And then you help your kids, because if you do it the other way around, you pass out and you're no good to anybody. So Jude amazingly follows the same kind of order here, and he doesn't know anything about airplanes. Imagine that. He first says, keep yourselves in the faith. Keep yourselves in God's love. But then he urges us to direct our attention to our brothers and sisters who are in mortal danger. Fellow believers who are caught up in doubts, or even people who once were believers who have now apostatized, or those who are in desperate danger of giving up the faith and wandering away, whose hearts have grown progressively cold and callous, to those who are caught up in gross sin, Jude would have us now attend to them. And note what he says here. Note the word that's repeated twice. That should give us an idea of our own posture towards others who are slip-sliding away. What does Jude say in verse 22? He says, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, here it is again, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. So Jude calls us never to be indifferent to our brothers and sisters who are indeed in mortal peril of losing their faith, caught up in sin, and wandering away from God. Jude would challenge all of us that my brother is my concern. My sister is my concern. As Pastor John held up that the church directory a few weeks ago, those people are our concern. They're your concern. They're my concern. And what does Jude want us to do? How does Jude want us to interact with them? He wants us to interact from a position of mercy. Not of condemnation. Not of harsh judgments. But of mercy. We are to treat them as we have been treated. Yes, we are to speak truth. We are to come with mercy mixed with fear. With a holy reverence and awe of God, of the threat of sin and unbelief, and the consequences of that sin and unbelief. Eternal judgment, symbolized here by fire. We are to come with reverence, with awe, with fear, but always in mercy. I pray that this place would be a place where the mercy of God is known. Where when people doubt, they are not encouraged in that doubt. We don't want wanton skepticism. But we want this a place to be a place where people can ask those hard questions that come up in the dark of night and in those difficult times. We want to be a place where mercy is shown. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. There's a real danger of people wandering from the faith. There's a real danger of sin. There's a real danger of people turning their backs on God. And he urges us to be on a rescue mission. Think of the images we've seen in Houston. People doing everything and anything to grab out and reach people in harm's way and pull them to safety. What a great image for the church. Reaching out to our brothers and sisters who are in danger of eternal judgment. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Keep yourselves in God's love, and then actively pursue brothers and sisters who are in mortal danger. Pursue them with mercy and with fear, reverent fear. And then Jude ends with this marvelous confession of who God is and this wonderful doxology, this wonderful word of praise. Look at verse 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. To him who is able to keep you from falling. If Jude's message to you has caused some discomfort inside and a concern about maybe apathy or complacency or anything like that, if he has awakened any of that, look again to who God is, right? Right at the beginning of the letter, kept by Jesus Christ. And now at the end of the letter, to him who is able to keep you. God has you. God is holding you, and he is able to present you in his presence, faultless, right? Completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and with great joy. And he gives this wonderful declaration of praise, this wonderful doxology. Let's read those verses together. Let's confess who God is together, and let's give him praise in this moment together. Let's read this. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.